Well, welcome to our third in our Southern California series in communicating science and faith to the general public. My name is David Vosburg. I'm a chemist at Harvey Mudd College, which is a secular school east of Los Angeles. And I'm going to talk about a project that's in progress. This is a project that's funded by the BioLogos Evolution and Christian Faith Grant Program. And it is on catalyzing compatibility of evolution and Christian faith, particularly on secular campuses, which is where I am. And it's where my wife is an InterVarsity staff worker as well. So first, what is my project? It has these components. So it is to develop group curricula, and group is a key word there. So group curricula, not individual curricula, but group curricula, for college students to consider, not to accept, but to consider the compatibility of evolution and Christian faith. And so what does that involve? There are multi-week discussion and study guides that I've been developing. And there's a book. Welcome, you guys, come on in. There's a book that has the working title, although I'm open to suggestions as well, Science and Faith Investigation Groups. And I'll tell you what the inspiration for that title choice was shortly. And I'll also be hosting a one-day Evolution in the Bible conference. That's also a tentative title, which is open to suggestions as well, in Claremont in October 2014 at the Claremont Colleges, which are partly pictured right here. So the rationale, why bother to do this? Well, one, there was a grant program that had that gave me the inspiration, although I was already doing a little bit of things like that anyway. But part of it is that students on secular campuses are in a little bit different place than students at Christian campuses. And I know there's a mixed audience of people from various types of institutions, some not from schools at all also. But for example, at Azusa Pacific, it's a different situation than at Harvey Mudd College. I'm not rewarded in the system, if you will, at all for doing any science and faith integration stuff. It has to be kind of a hobby on the side. It's not part of my real job, if you will, that I'm rewarded for by the dean or my department chair or anything. And there aren't the same resources there. So I'm not rewarded for it. There also aren't the same resources. And the folks who are around, like my wife, who's a campus minister, local pastors, student leaders of, say, InterVarsity or other related Christian fellowship groups, often don't feel prepared to deal with these. They feel not well informed or intimidated by these sorts of topics. And so I'm hoping to lower the activation energy barrier, if you will, for these sorts of conversations to happen. And I feel that part of that is to do it in a group, to not individual, not go hole yourself away in your dorm room, read six books, and then hopefully you've figured everything out. That's kind of how I did things, and that was a decade-plus long process for me. It has been. It's not a completed process for me. So that's part of the rationale for doing this project. And so here's some of the documents that I'm producing. So 6, 7, and 10-week curricula, different variations of content in these cases, for groups centered particularly on films. So last year at the ASA meeting in San Diego, I talked about using films, and I've got, in fact, a blog post on that, using film to catalyze conversations on faith and science that came up in September last year. And right after it, another one, Science and Faith on a Secular Campus. So these back-to-back blogs, more or less. I'm talking about what are the advantages to using film that are unique compared to articles and books, which I also use, but what advantages does film have, particularly in a group setting? And what films might one use? You guys can come and have a seat. And so these are two that I particularly like, although the third one has come to my attention recently, which I will add, and I'll show you on a later slide as well. Also, engaging with others at the ASA meeting. So I did that last year. I'm doing it this year. And in 2 years, I hope to come back to see what other thoughts people might have. And the book, tentatively titled Science and Faith Investigation Groups. And so, for example, a glance, if you're like, well, what might be in a curriculum, for example? Here's an example of a curriculum that I'm doing right now with my students. We are through 8 of the 10 weeks this summer. I did a similar series last summer. Last summer, I had just Christian students. I only advertised it among Christian students in Claremont, so various colleges in Claremont. This year, I advertised it more broadly than that. So we have non-Christians. We have folks from other beliefs or agnostic atheist folks as well in the group, which has changed the dynamic, certainly. So we don't have worship and prayer in the meetings, for example, this summer that we did have last summer. So usually, we first talk about group dynamics. What are the expectations? For example, confidentiality issues. If someone shares something, do you bring that outside of the group or not? What permission do you need to do something like that? And listening to each other, not assuming things about other people, not judging each other, that it's okay for Christians to have different opinions on certain topics, that that's not going to be a point of contention vigorously in the group. And then this year, rather than just jumping into Genesis relatively soon, I started with some other scripture parts. So various psalms that deal with creation and bits of Job that are rather interesting as well, and some New Testament passages, for example, from John, Colossians, Hebrews, bits like that. So they can get a bit of a diversity of scripture's voice about creation before we touch on Genesis, which is kind of the heart of what we're doing, but I don't want to start there because that's a little more contentious than the Psalms, for example, and the other bits. So that seemed to be really, really good. And since there are a decent number of somewhat conservative Christians that are in the group, inevitably, certainly last year and I think this year as well, we do go to the Bible before the films as well. So honoring scripture and starting there is what I've done. And then using these two films in sequence, interspersed with articles. So From the Dust, if you haven't heard of it, it's a really nice film from Biologos and Highway Media that is somewhat conservative Christian friendly, I guess you might say, among various films. More so perhaps than Test of Faith, although it's also an excellent film. Test of Faith is also great. In fact, some people that are in Test of Faith are in this room. And there's a 4-week series and a 3-week series on those films, and then ending up with Delight in Creation, after the manner of things that, for example, Deb Harsma and Jennifer Wiseman often celebrate in the context of, for example, astronomy. Or for myself, as a synthetic chemist, what molecules can we make? Isn't that super cool? That we can make them. Molecules no one's ever made before or even thought of making before. Isn't that nice? Or share a chemistry psalm, for example, which I wrote. And the emphasis here is discussion in small groups of maybe 2 to 4 students in clusters around the room, and then in a larger group. And I found in my experience that including those smaller clusters is really important, so the people who don't speak up as much get to share their voice, at least in their smaller groups, and kind of find their voice before the larger discussion. That's been really, really helpful. I've learned over the past couple years that. And so aside from the first week where there are no expectations coming into the that meeting, we've had an article each week that they have, you know, a week to read. They don't have to read it to come, but if nobody reads it, it's not a very good discussion. And these articles are just free PDFs online. The sources I've drawn these from are here, from Biologos, Faraday, and the American Scientific Affiliation, so PSCF articles. So those are the three places from which I draw articles. And I'll show you a list of the ones that I have chosen most recently. But other ones, if you want to recommend some, I would welcome those as well. Here's a picture of some students. These are all Pomona College students in this case, talking about one of the articles. And so the book outline, again, this is tentative, and I'm planning on working on this during my sabbatical next year. And if you have input on what you think would be helpful, again, the target is mainly Christian students at secular schools, undergraduates, as well as campus staff workers that work with those students. So tentatively, Science and Faith Investigation Groups as the title. And to, at the beginning, to acknowledge there's a potential controversy, or they probably have heard about it. Why is there one? What does the Bible say about creation? So exploring, for example, some of those other passages a little bit. And in true InterVarsity style, a bit of inductive or at least semi-inductive Bible study. Of looking at the scripture and saying, okay, what is speaking to us? Now, not with the assumption that you can get everything you need out of scripture just by glancing at it. So that's why semi-inductive in this case. But I don't want to just be preaching at them. Number one, I'm not really a good preacher. I'm trying to have a balance there. Between giving them the scripture straight up so that InterVarsity staff and students will accept it and find it palatable, but also challenging them to get something out of it there that maybe they haven't seen before. In Genesis, again, only after these other passages. And then a little bit of a historical context of, is this conflict view really historically accurate? And is that the dominant paradigm one should bring to thinking about science and faith? And what are we really afraid of? And maybe trying to end on a high note, like the group discussion has, delight in creation, things of that sort. So that's tentatively where I'm going. Again, I'm open to input on that. And so here's why the Science and Faith Investigation Groups. So it's inspired from these things called God Investigation Groups, which are rather popular and well accepted by InterVarsity staff, of whom my wife is one. And they're often called GIGs, right? And so I was thinking, how could I piggyback on the GIGs idea? Well, one idea would be to have SIG figs, which by the transitive property, you could get from science plus faith investigation group. So that was kind of the thinking there. My wife said you should not do that transitive bit in the title because you'll lose way too many people with that. Maybe on the cover art, that could work. So So that's kind of tentatively where it's going to sit right now. So we'll see. And here's a picture of the InterVarsity gig guide that you can get at the InterVarsity store, for example, and one of the sort of graphics they use for checking out Jesus. And so tentatively, I would be mostly targeting Christian students with this guide and encouraging them to explore and engage the intersection of science and faith, which a lot of undergraduates are not well-equipped to do. And I want to give them something easy, and that is, if you will, InterVarsity approved to do that with. So that's the plan. And so some events as well, in addition to some documents that I talked about before. So I've done lots of screenings of the From the Dust film. I was recruited by some of the folks at Highway Media and BioLogos to help work on this. And so most of the way through 15 screenings at this point. And I've done two of three of these 10-week studies with college students in the Claremont area. And I'd be happy to share curricula if people want to try it other places as well. I don't plan on selling those curricula, so you can use them freely. Also, I did a 7-week church adult education series at my church right here, Laverne Heights Presbyterian Church, of which I'd been a member for 8 years, and nothing remotely related to science and faith had come up in all 8 years I had been there. And I had never felt really valued as a chemist at all. I mean, people knew I taught at Harvey Mudd College, but they didn't really care that much. But besides that, if somebody else from the colleges came, they would introduce me to them and say, hey, you'd like to get to know them, probably. That was pretty much the extent of it. And that went really well. I was surprised. I was really surprised. Got some great feedback from that. Hope to talk at the ASA meeting in 2 years as well, after I'm back from England. And we're going to have a conference in October, a year from now, October. And if God so wills, a workshop at the Urbana Missions Conference in 2015. That is the most challenging of these goals, to get through the InterVarsity gates to get in that position. It's a lot of people have to say yes, and a lot of people can say no. But try. We'll see. So From the Dust screenings, here are some samples of groups with whom I've screened the film. And sometimes this is in one go. Poof, here's the film. It's an hour long. Then let's talk about it. Sometimes, and maybe with or without a panel, and sometimes it's, let's chop it up, and it's got four natural divisions of approximately 15 minutes each. So one was a world premiere. That was a year ago May in Palo Alto at the Aquarius, where we had a panel. That was really, really neat. I've shown it in various settings with undergraduate students. I plan to show it to graduate students, and I've shown it to the faculty. For example, lots of faculty groups in Claremont, as well as the faculty conference last summer on Catalina Island, the West Coast Faculty Conference. I have not yet been to the Midwest Faculty Conference in Upper Peninsula, Michigan. Hopefully that will happen sometime in the future. And at last year's ASA meeting, we did a screening, which you may recall, of those of you that were there at Point Loma. We had a screening and a panel for that as well. And a couple showings at church and my small group Bible study at home. And here's a graphic of the From the Dust film. You notice how the Bible is kind of one of the layers of our, so it's a historical, geological context for the Bible sort of thing, if you will, is the cover art there. The conference, as planned, would be on a one-day event on Saturday, October 25th, and the plan is to have a couple of biblical scholars, so John Walton and Jack Collins, so from Wheaton College and from Covenant Seminary, so Chicago area, St. Louis area, and Jeff Schloss, a biologist from Westmont College in Santa Barbara. And so the thought would be to have two of them on the Bible first, possibly show the film either in pieces or in a chunk, perhaps, with opportunities for discussion in the group, and then have Jeff Schloss to talk a more biological angle on evolution and have a panel wrapping up the afternoon. That's the plan. Again, input on that is also welcome. They've all said yes, so that part is good. And some advisor, a sampling of advisors. Some of you may see your pictures here that are in the room, perhaps, in some cases. This is just the types of people that I plan to get feedback from, including perhaps you as well. So campus ministers, scientists, Bible scholars, science, faith enthusiasts. That isn't to say that people couldn't be in multiple categories. Science, faith enthusiasts are sometimes scientists, for example. And Bible scholars could also be enthusiasts, and campus ministers could as well. But I welcome more. I welcome more as well. And here are a sampling of books that will inform what I'm working on. This is not an exclusive list. There are certainly others as well. But these are some that have something of a pastoral tone for the most part. And I've found helpful so far. And the gig guide, of course, is the inspiration for the tentative title. here are a list of the articles that we're using this summer in our group. So again, one per week, basically, excluding the first week. So that should be a list of nine articles. And so roughly tracking with the content of the films, right? The From the Dust film, and then the Test of Faith film. And so some biblical sort of context. Tim Keller, people mostly have heard of Tim Keller, so that's kind of a plus. In some cases, it's name recognition, it's a thing. And since I've got a lot of scientist types, you know, Ian Hutchinson is somewhat recognized as well. Dennis Fenham, a little biology. That one's kind of hardcore biology, but that they mostly can handle that. And so it's kind of a progression. And a little neuroscience with Alistair Coles towards the end. At the end of the Test of Faith, there's a neuroscience section on that. And again, wrapping up with worship and with Jennifer's article there. So that's kind of the type of thing that we get to discuss early on. This was modified a bit this year because, like I mentioned, I had some non-believing students or students of other religious traditions. They asked, oh, well, could we have, and I gave them this outline at the beginning. This was the plan. They said, oh, could we have other perspectives as well? So I've sprinkled in some agnostic, atheist, Muslim, and Jewish shorter bits to kind of complement these. So we've had a couple of those on the side, like Richard Feynman, for example. We had an Islamic physicist perspective and things of that nature. And so here are the three films. So the newer one is the John Walton's, which is free online. If you don't know how to find it free online, just ask me. But if you Google BioLogos, Evolution in Christian Faith, Walton, you probably can find it there. And it's you can download it or you can just watch it. Either way works. And so this is sort of a spectrum of how easy are they for, I guess I would say, a conservative Christian audience to watch and not be resistant to. So John's, I would say, is the easiest because there's no science in it. Right? It's just looking at the Bible. And he's also got interview with the creator of VeggieTales in it. So that's attractive to some audiences as well. And then there's the From the Dust, I think is also somewhat pastoral. And there's more theology in it than there is in Test of Faith. Test of Faith is the edgiest. But Test of Faith would be the best one to show at, like, Caltech, for example, which is one thing that we did. And that went pretty well. So this is, again, a spectrum. These are all really great films. But in some cases, you want to contextualize them and ease people into them, depending on your audience and which film you've chosen. And so here's some contact info if you want to get a hold of me. I'll be in England next year visiting with the Faraday Institute of Science and Religion and doing some chemistry of self-assembling molecules. And I want to thank the BioLogos Foundation through the Evolution in Christian Faith grant program. Thank you very much. So I welcome questions or comments, suggestions, anything. I intentionally left some extra time for that. Yes?
So one of your, I imagine you're wanting the university campus staff to be good users.
Right.
Campuses in ministry. Immediately to me, one of the pastoral concerns that arise is university staff are by and large, they have a donor base, they're sending out newsletters about their activity. Is there any kind of help that you're giving them? Or somebody else can give them how to do this and not lose all
Right. That's a good question. My wife is one of these staff, right? And she sends out, you know, support letters and so on. So how to encourage them to use it without potentially tanking their funding source.
And maybe just not talking about it? Or, I mean, what do you recommend?
Well, you know, you don't have to be very specific in these prayer update letters anyway. You can say, oh, we've got this great group, and we're attracting non-believers as well to this group. We're talking about science faith. It's really great, and it's something's good and growing, and it's edgy, and we're engaging campus in a way that's relevant to campus, right? There are lots of ways you can pitch it that sounds just fine. For example, my wife has been doing a lot of edgy stuff with faith and homosexuality. So there have been some groups in Claremont, they're called queer groups, and so that's the term that's used. So the queer groups on campus have expressed interest in Jesus. So how does she respond? No, not allowed. No, she doesn't say that. She says, welcome, you know, well, let's talk about it. Let me share Jesus with you. Like, let's talk about it. Let's form a group where you feel safe to investigating Jesus, right? That's the sort of thing that's happened. And she's sharing that in her letters. And her funding has not suffered as a result. In fact, she's been invited to do some special things, including training for LA area staff on that sort of issue. So while there are potential risks, there are rewards too. So, but you're right. So me being in contact, not just with my wife, but with other university staff and getting the temperature for them on what would work is a good one. That's right. So, you know, maybe them thinking independent of my project, what sort of things would be helpful for them and would they be excited to do on their campuses? That's right. Yeah, Terry?
What kind of angst are the students expressing to be enlightened on this issue? I mean, is it being in any way driven by their hunger or their fear?
Right. So when I first, for example, was screening the From the Dust film on campus, I said, well, I'll just see to what extent students are interested at all. And so just randomly, with very little notice, a Sunday brunch time on campus, I went and showed half of the film. And the next Sunday, I showed another half of the film. And my wife thought, eh, you'd be lucky to get 10 students for that. I had like 45 students. It was almost a packed out room. And we had pretty good turnout the next week as well. So there definitely is interest. And they stuck around and wanted to talk about it, too. And I did a survey at the end of last summer, the group that I had, and a lot of them really, really valued having that chance to, over a prolonged period of time, not like we're having the Science and Faith event once, boom, there it is, you figured it out, but it was this prolonged 10-week thing where they could kind of wrestle with stuff, talk with each other in the group, talk back in the dorms as well. And doing it over the summer was easy because they didn't have all the classes to pressure them. They were just doing summer research or something, and so that was a more relaxed time for them. And last week we also did it with some prayer and worship wrapped in. So it was much more, you know, easy for the Christian students to feel comfortable, right? We'd start with a worship song, which one of the students volunteered to lead. And that was great. When it turned out, it was one of my own research students. I didn't know that she could play or really was a Christian much prior to that. But there you go. So sometimes students will just come out of the woodwork when you just do something. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I would say generally university staff are more conservative than the average students in their group, perhaps. And the university student leaders might also be, on average, more conservative than the average student in the groups as well. And they have risks as well, right? You know, if they do certain things, they risk, you know, constituency, you know, people showing up.
I hadn't thought about that.
Right, right, right. But, you know, students are hungry for this. So if they find a safe environment, that's huge, right? So that's why, for example, the first week, it's just setting the content. We don't have, like, a lot of content the first week. It's just making them feel safe. Like, it's okay to ask questions. It's okay. And it's I'm not trying to convert them to a position, right? I'm just trying to expose them to some things, right? That's right. And so I'm hoping, and granted, it's mostly about the evolution and faith issue, but what I say repeatedly every week is, while we're focusing mostly on this, I intend this to be a model for how any other issue you could tackle, right? So you look, you get some perspectives, you engage it in a way that's in friendly dialogue with others. And if you can have that friendly dialogue on this, you probably can have it on other issues too, right? So that we're trying to model this, so this can be portable, and you guys can do this or talk about other issues like this with your friends and other people you know and start groups. So I'm hoping that it'll kind of spread. But yeah, thank you. Yes.
Interested in your sabbatical. If this is a formal part of your sabbatical, if you had applied to Harvey Mudd and they approved you using sabbatical time for this work.
Right. So I'm fortunate that it's not really a competitive sabbatical application at Harvey Mudd. In fact, my chair wants me to leave to get refreshed. Yes, so I did note, you know, this is my plan. I'm spending part of my time in the chemistry department working on self-assembling molecules with a friend of mine from undergrad who's on the faculty at Cambridge. And I'm spending part of my time with the Faraday folks, not formally working for them per se, but supported by the grant to work on this writing project and going to lots of Faraday events and talking with Faraday people. So they're very much aware of this. And actually, a surprising thing, I didn't put this in the presentation, but when I wrote a discussion guide for the From the Dust film, which is on the From the Dust film website, the communications department jumped on that, and they posted a news release on the front page of the Harvey Mudd website, which nothing faith-related has ever been on the Harvey Mudd website, on the front page. And that was on there, bang, you know, Vossberg Penn Science Faith Guide. You can Google that, and you'll find it. And then a little while later, when I applied for the grant and got it, they jumped on that, too. You know, and it has the words evolution and Christian faith in there. And I couldn't avoid that because the grant program is called Evolution and Christian Faith. And so I couldn't avoid those words. But like Francis got some feedback with me on his Grace Talk, I got a lot of feedback from Francis, too, on how should I word. So I got to thankfully edit that press release before it came out. Otherwise, it could have been disaster. But saying, look, the AAAS is looking at issues of integration of religion and science. Look, the National Academies of Science is working on issues of integration of faith and science. And so you can't argue with that. And I gave a couple of reasons, you know, that we want all the best people doing science, for example. And Harvey Mudd cares about that. They're interested in diversity and so on. So there are ways that you can make it. I've had no negative feedback at all, actually, from either of those press releases. And lots of alums have said, wow, I saw this. Not only was it on the website, it was in the bulletin, you know, that we get mailed, you know, to alumni. This is great. Could you tell me more about it? I'd like to get involved with what you're doing. Wow, this is great. So that, you know, some people from the 70s, like alums from the 70s even. So it's been really encouraging for me. Yeah, Terry.
You didn't mention another film that's circulating. I think it's called The Test of Truth or something like that. Are you familiar with that?
I don't know Test of Truth. I'd like to look into it.
Anyone else know that? Dobson's group came out with it. It's very professionally done.
It's the Truth Project, yeah.
That's it. Truth Project. That's right.
Okay, I'll look in that, Terry. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm surprised no one brought it up. It's really big in a certain circle of churches.
Right, right. And so I want to know what's in that, whether I use it or just at least to be aware of its content.
Yeah.
In context, right. Thank you. Yeah.
I've heard from some people that it's quite anti-evolutionary.
That would be my guess if it's from, Dobson's group, that it would be against evolution. But I want to at least be aware of it. Not that I necessarily would use it in my discussion group, per se, or tout it in the Science and Faith Investigation group, but I'd want to at least be aware of it. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, Ralph.
So
it killed the Bible study group. Wow. Wow. Okay, that's an interesting testimony that, you know. So just jumping in this sort of discussion for the sake of jumping into this discussion is not necessarily a healthy decision, but it needs to be done with care, and it can have destructive effects like terminating a small group. So I certainly am not trying to do that. And so that's an important consideration. So always context is important, and explicitly welcoming dialogue and multiple views. And so choosing curricula or films, et cetera, that welcome other perspectives and are not maybe dogmatic in a particular view is an important component, I think.
That's interesting. That's stretching the Christian group from one direction. Yours is stretching from the other.
I recognize that not all would welcome, you know, what I offer necessarily. And so I try to do it gently, and I try to not push and corner. But you're right. Yes.
Ooh,
wow, yeah, that would be different. So if my view were, say, anti-evolution, just strictly anti-evolution, I certainly wouldn't want the PR people to get a hold of that. Right, yeah, that wouldn't go as well. Thankfully, I have tenure already, but still, that would be a little dicey. Yeah, Craig? Thank you. I'll look at Dorothy's review of the Truth Project. Thank you. Dorothy Boers at Gordon College, biology. Thanks. Thanks. You have another minute or so, I suppose. Yes. That's right. So the delight in creation theme, so that title actually was not my own. There's a booklet and a series of PDFs that Deb Harsma edited from the Ministry Theorem, I believe, at Calvin. Is that right? Yes. You can get all those PDFs online free if you look at the Ministry Theorem. And there's also an actual hard copy as well, which is meant to be circulated, for example, among pastors and these different articles from different authors about ways to delight in what God has done. Not necessarily just beginning of times, but ways different folks who are into science delight in what God has done in nature. Thanks. Thank you for this stimulating discussion. I would welcome other thoughts offline as well. But this ends our session, and let's thank all of our speakers from this afternoon.